This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Emily Thompson from Saugerties, New York, and you're listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 3rd, episode 926. This episode is brought to you by Us Equestrian. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh, my God. It's Tuesday.
Top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Horses in the Morning. We've got Emily back with us for the jumping episode that we do the first Tuesday of every month. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Glenn. Happy to be back.
Unfortunately, Emily is in a crappy spot for anything that involves technology. You are much better off in Florida.
I know. And I'm going to tell you, the weather is making me feel that way, too. It was so cold. Well, we're like blankets and sheets and everything.
Well, Jennifer, you hear that clicking with Emily. You're going to have to – why don't you try giving us a call back, and we'll see if we can get a better connection with you.
Okay, I'm going to call you right back.
Okay. So we'll hope that she has a better connection. Emily's in upstate New York now at Saugerties at the hit show up there in New York, and I think it's in the middle of nowhere. And,
well, it's a horse
cell
venue
towers.
Problem. I challenge any horse person in America to find a significant horse venue or a significant concentrated horse population that has good internet or cell phone service. I'd be surprised if there's one anywhere in the country.
You know who seems to have figured it out is the Kentucky Horse Car, because when we were there at Rolex, we actually used my phone's hotspot to do the show, and it worked great. So I think because they've actually put towers in the park. So that's why. That's the only reason
it
works.
Well, see, that's the thing, is it only works during Rolex.
That's right.
The rest of the year, all these thousands of people who compete there all summer long, no, they don't get the towers, Glenn.
It works great during Rolex. That's fine. So we'll hope Emily can get back to us here very quickly, and we'll do a jumping show here today all about jumping and all things related to jumping, and I want to hear about hits up there in Saugerties. It's supposed to be a neat little place, so we'll hear more about that as we go through today. Well, why don't we do what's coming up on today's show while we're waiting for Emily to give us a call back?
Sure, I'm happy to suck up an additional 15 seconds on today's S Equestrian Tuesday edition. We jump into the show with an interesting chat about infrared, compliments of Cat from Menifab. And half-halting mid-show, Monty Kelly from Stepping Stone Farm has a training tip. And landing off the final fence, we make a visit with Michaela Longmire, who is a junior rider that is just burning up the circuit, having just won the junior jumpers at Devon. So stay tuned for the fray.
Oh. And we also have Lindsay from Hits coming on later in the show. She is going to be here, so we'll look forward to talking to her, too, and finding out all about the show up there. I don't think it's a whole lot better there, Emily. We still have a clicking noise that is coming in. We'll see if it clears up.
Let me call you right back.
No, I don't know that that's going to help. I think it's your phone or the connection that you have there.
Man, that totally stinks. I'm going to find an absolutely new place next month and deal with this.
Yeah, I don't know, Jennifer. You still hear it as well?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's give it a try and see if it clears up. If it doesn't, I'm not sure what to tell you. We might have her do the Skype method, Jennifer, where we have her. You would have to explain it to her. how to Skype in through the Blog Talk system. Nothing like doing the show, the instructions on the air.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, and that's the unfortunate issue is the Wi-Fi signal. So my
Well, your phone isn't either. To let you know. Well, now you are in upstate New York, right?
Yes, up in Saugerties.
In the middle, where is Saugerties and what's Saugerties like?
Saugerties is 100 miles north of Manhattan. It's on the Hudson River. It's absolutely beautiful. I do take the drive back and forth to New York to do the clothing line and back up to Saugerties, so I see the whole thing. It's gorgeous. But it's just really, really nice. This far up north, it's very, the landscape is beautiful, the trees, the trails, there's streams, the river, obviously. And then Saugerties itself is just so cute. It's a great town, shopping, farmers markets. It's kind of got everything.
Okay. Well, that's good. And it's isolated, though? It's pretty much isolated from anything else around?
I mean, there's little towns of interest in the area. You know, Woodstock, people are familiar with that. That's maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes away. And just right across the river is Rhinebeck, is a pretty popular destination. I mean, but it is just far enough up here that, you're not going to find, like, a huge strip mall or, like, big grocery stores. I mean, you're upstate.
How did Saugerties end up being the jumping capital of the summer?
Tom Strazeri. He bought the land up here. I don't know how many acres. We'll have to ask Lindsay. It's a very big complex. But he just established it, and he built it, and we all came. I mean, he had a property in Ellenville, which wasn't that far away, so everyone was kind of used to the area, and there is a concentration of show jumpers. But yeah, he built this here, and here we all are.
Well, I'll tell you what, Emily,
your
phone is not getting any better. So we'll just rearrange the order here. I'm going to have Jennifer talk to you offline, see maybe we can come up with a different phone or some other solution to this problem. But you guys had Jennifer and you had a chance to catch up with one of the up-and-coming young riders that was that is making her way through the circuit and did an interview with her yesterday. So why don't we play that now? And I'll have Jennifer talk to you off air and see if we can figure something out here.
Okay, good deal.
All right, sounds good.
While I get our guest on the line here, Emily, why don't you fill us in a little bit on who Michaela is?
Michaela's got school, so she couldn't do it tomorrow. And, I mean, the kids just, she's winning so much because she is sort of one of the hot kids that's going to try to compete for the new class that they're going to put on the week of the million. So, like, all the professionals come and try to show them the $1 million Grand Prix, and then they're going to have that same week a $250,000 junior amateur class, which is, like, a huge purse.
Holy cow!
So, at Devon last week, she was just officially the youngest kid ever to win one of those equitation classes. She won the USEF medal at 13 years old.
Wow.
She got, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, we've got Michaela on the line here, so let's welcome her to the show.
Yay! Hey, Michaela.
Hello.
Hey, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
You have a very impressive string of results for such a young rider. Congratulations, most recently, on being the youngest winner of the USEF medal at Devon Horse Show. I checked up on you, and that is really, really impressive.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun.
That's so cool. That's great to hear that you say it's fun. I did. I did the equitation when I was a junior. I've won a few ribbons at Devon myself. I know how hard it is, and I know that it can also it can be really grueling. You know, it cannot be fun. So that's awesome. That's kind of your personality. I mean, you are having fun out there, huh?
Yeah. Well, my mom always says it's never it's not worth doing unless it's really fun.
Oh, I love that. That's so true.
Can your mom adopt me?
I know, right? Me too. Horse Show Mom of the Year. Well, tell us about your mom and dad. I know a little bit. You know, I'm in the horse show community, so I do know your mom and dad a bit. But tell us about them and how they've influenced you. They're professionals, right?
Well, my mom is she's just really great and a teacher, and she'll always tell me the truth, like if I'm sloppy in my position or something. My dad, well, is really great because he is really supportive of any ribbons I bring home, and he's just really great.
That's and your dad shoes your horses too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. he does some. He also has help from Chip Franking.
Okay.
Franking.
Yeah. But mom and dad are real horse professionals.
Yes, they are.
That's pretty cool. Awesome. You have a built-in farrier. Whenever you lose a horseshoe on Saturday night at 11 o'clock, your dad's right there. That's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom's there to coach you through the inside turn, huh?
Yes, she is.
So she, which I think is unique, mom is your trainer, correct, at all the events?
My mom is my trainer, and also I get help from Missy Clark and John Brennan.
Very nice, who I also rode with as a junior.
And Jude Wells.
My faves. Very cool, very cool. And you are, just for everybody who doesn't know you, you are really technically 14 years old, which is very young, and then you show at 13 years old, even younger. Correct? Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
That's right. So, I mean, it's incredible. Really, the biggest thing with the age is the consistency. I have watched you ride before, by the way. You're incredibly talented, so much feeling, so much fun to watch, and always on great horses, which is so nice to see. But the consistency is such a factor. And for you, I mean, you're just out there kicking butt and taking names in all the rings, right? Hunters, Jumpers, Eck. Tell us about your show experience.
Well, I wouldn't have the horses that I have today without my mom and dad and Missy also. Letting me show Micah at Devon, which was really amazing.
How many different horses or ponies do you typically ride at one horse show? How many different horses do you compete with at one horse show?
At just one horse show, any horse show?
Yeah, just at an average horse show. Let's, for example, at Devon, how many different horses did you show at Devon?
I had three horses there, and I showed two of them.
You showed two of them. And Which is your favorite division? If you had to choose just one, what's your favorite?
My favorite would probably be the jumpers.
Oh, how do we know?
Jumpers are fun.
Yeah, they are.
Now, when you do the jumpers, what is it about them that makes them your favorite?
I like the jump-offs a lot because you're going to go fast.
Oh, so we're an adrenaline junkie too, are we?
Yeah, and I like jumping big jumps.
Okay, so you do the equitation because that helps you in the jumper rings as well, I would think.
Yes, with the position and body control.
Very good. Now, you are old enough to ride in the McClay classes, right?
McClay, yes.
Now, are you going to be next year's grand champion at the National?
Well, I'd really love to be one day, since my mom was. That would be a really great privilege.
I wonder if there have ever been any other mother-daughter, mother-son, father-son, et cetera, teams that have done that. We're going to have to look that up, Emily Thompson. We're going to look up if there have ever been siblings or family members that took in the metal McClay, because that would be pretty darn exciting.
That would be exciting. It's incredible, all of the results. I mean, Michaela, you won Hunter Derby at 11. Is that right? 11 years old?
Yes, at Vermont.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a really fun derby. I got to do my junior Hunter's RZ there.
That's so great. And then you continued because then you won the Big Hunter Derby in Vermont last year at 13.
Yes.
So you're killing it. It's just so fun. So you love the jumpers. You want to continue in the jumper ring. Do you have your eye on that big class that they've put on? This is the first year of it, the $250,000 jumper prix here at Saugerties?
Yes, I definitely, that is a goal of mine to do this year. Yes, it is.
Nice. So you've got to qualify, right? How does this work? Do you need to come show all summer?
You need to do 5 classes, high junior classics, to qualify for it.
Okay. All right. So we'll get to see you quite a bit then this summer.
Yes.
Very cool. Do you know what horse you're going to be competing in the junior jumpers?
I will be competing my the Classic Care.
Classic Care. And which one is that? How old is Classic Care?
She is 11. We got her from Andre Rodriguez in Florida last year.
Nice. Okay, so, I mean, that's kind of a new mount.
Pardon?
That's kind of a new mount for you then.
Yeah, my mom showed her a little bit last year, and then I started backing on her in Florida.
Nice. Okay, so you've got a few competitions under your belt?
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Well, we're excited to see you in that ring this summer and just watch you grow. You want to stick in horses, right? As you're going to be a horse professional, is that on the agenda?
That is definitely one. Yes, it is.
Very fun, very cool. Well, nobody set up better to do it than you. Tons of talent.
Thank you.
Tons of hard work and juggling school. So I wanted to touch on that. Did you, a lot of these riders, competitive juniors, do online school, and you don't, right?
No, I go to East Granby Public School. Yeah.
Is that just incredibly difficult to juggle all of it? How do you manage, like, Florida and, I mean, all of it?
Well, the school is really supportive about it. They've really been really super about letting me go to Florida for 3 months.
Man, that's awesome. That's so good. So then you can make up your schoolwork and work with a tutor or something down in Florida.
Yeah.
That's good. That's nice. I saw that you were in public school. I thought, wow, this is a together little girl.
Now, Michaela, when you are in Florida over the winter, do you stay down in Florida all of the time, or do you commute back and forth from down to Florida for showing on the weekends and then back home during the week? Is that how you do it?
Actually, this is my first year, well, since a while, that I got to stay down for the whole 3 months.
That is a very cooperative school.
Yeah, yes, it is. But I did go to tutors during the week for, like, 3 hours, and we would send back the work.
And what was the hardest class to manage while you were down south, away from all of your actual classes and your schoolmates? Which was the toughest class?
I would say probably math, because I'm not very good at math.
She counts strides great, though. I've watched her. I don't know if she's counting. Maybe we're uncovering she's not counting.
That's what we have to do. We have to take all math problems and put them in the context of a course. If you have a six-stride line and a horse that takes a half a stride for every other horse's 3 strides.
Yeah, really. Seriously. There is a little math, isn't there? That's awesome. Well, it is so great to get to talk with you and hear about how this whole summer is planned out for you. We will be here at Saugerties quite a bit, so we'll get to catch up with you later and track your success. I mean, we got our eye on you for that $250,000 Junior Grand Prix. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited about it.
Really cool. It's a huge purse, right, for the juniors?
Yes, it is definitely. I just love the ring there because it's so big.
So what, I think you mentioned it before, the name of the horse that you want to compete in that one is which one again?
Classic Care.
That's Classic Care, and that's a mare.
Yes.
So we're going to keep our eyes open for Classic Care and Michaela, and you're going to be, how many weeks of showing do you have to get qualified for that class? How many weeks long?
You have to do 5. I've only done 2 so far.
And you have to do 5, so that's 5 weeks, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have 5 weeks. And how is it going so far? You're 2 down, 3 to go. How's it going so far?
So far it's been great. I went clean in the first one I did, and I went clean in the last one too.
So you have 2 cleans under your belt. That's pretty impressive. 2 cleans the first time out.
Yes.
Now, for the next 3, are you going to have different course designers for these, or is it the same course designer throughout?
I have not looked at that. Normally, my mom always looks at the course designer, but I have not.
Maybe that's better.
Yeah.
Less time to get nervous. Well, this has been a lot of fun getting to know you a little bit, Michaela. And as Emily said, you are a young rider to watch. And hopefully as the summer season moves along here, we'll be chatting with you again, and we'll hopefully be seeing you in the big big class at the end of the season.
Well, I look forward to being there.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that was Michaela in an interview that Jennifer and Emily did with her yesterday. Jennifer is still trying to we're still trying to get a good connection with Emily and see how she's doing. Emily, are you any better?
I'm here. I don't know. You tell me. Can you hear me?
We can sort of hear you. Are you still in your cell?
I'm on my cell. There, unfortunately, believe it or not, was not a landline. They've got one that they're using in the horse show office.
Okay. We'll just have to see. I think your cell is still crackling. We'll have to see how that goes. You either need a new cell or a better location for the next time, one or the other.
Yeah, totally. Maybe both. Man, this is terrible. I'm sorry that I'm keeping everybody hostage.
Well, that's okay. We heard from Michaela, 14-year-old, working her way. Do you think she even has any concept of what $250,000 is?
I know, really. She got excited. She knew that it was good. To what degree, we're not really sure.
What could I buy? What kind of tack could I buy for $250,000? I could have some nice outfits for $250,000, you know? So,
seriously.
I don't know.
Oh,
when
my
I was
gosh.
That age, I don't even know, you know, I didn't know what that was other than it's a lot of candy.
Yeah, really. It's unbelievable. She's so young and she's so consistent. I mean, 13 years old. It's wild.
You could buy every product Benefab makes times 1,000 for $250,000. And that brings us to our friend Kat from Benefab, who's here to talk a little bit about horse health and how her products can help. Good morning, Kat.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Good. Do you have an idea of what $250,000 does, Kat?
Well, I'm thinking maybe I should change my profession. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, right? Your profession can be showing its hips with all the prize money.
Correct.
There's a lot of eventers and dressage riders thinking the same thing, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Maybe we should all go to New York.
Where
yeah,
are you
right?
at right now, Kat? You're not in Saugerties with the lousy phone connection that Emily has, right?
You know what? I am not, which this is the first year in about 3 years that I'm not there. I am sweating to death in Ocala, Florida, right where you guys are.
You know, it's not that bad today, though. The humidity's gone, and we're supposed to have a beautiful couple days, so I'll take it. I'll take it.
I know, which is so nice, because last week it was pretty humid, but...
Well, Emily, I'll let you try and take over here, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, all right. So, Kat, thanks for joining us. Happy to have
of course.
You. I met Kat, actually, at the Ada Trade Shows up there for the clothing line. Gosh, what was that in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
January. Yeah, so I was drawn into the booth by this amazing-looking product. It was the sheet. It was like a scrim sheet with these ceramic discs sewn all over it, like, it seemed like there were hundreds of them. So I was drawn in. It was a new company to me anyways. I started hearing about it, and, I mean, I was blown away. I left with quite a few products and have been using them, and the horses feel awesome. So I was so glad to have you on so you could just kind of tell us a little bit about the science behind it. Like, what are these, all of this wild-looking equipment?
Of course. That sheet that you specifically are talking about is our newest product. We're calling it the Ceramag Mesh Rug, but it's a really unique product because it combines ceramic and magnetic therapy for the first time. So we infuse ceramic powder, which is basically a fine-grained metal oxide. It's a combination of just about 30 lead-free minerals, such as magnesium, aluminum, and silica. And those minerals begin the benefit of all of our products, which is an increase in blood circulation and oxygen flow by up to 80%. The products also help to promote healing processes, supple muscles, and reduce edema in animals and people alike. But the unique thing about that sheet particularly is that we also, like you said, have sewn on their 1,100 Gauss surface magnets over all of the primary acupuncture points. So there's about 89 magnets, so close to 100.
Wow.
And they, you know, the magnets are believed to further oxygenate the muscles by stimulating blood flow and harmonize bodily functions safely and naturally. So it avoids any added thermal heat from the ceramics, which is nice.
Now, wait a minute. I have a picture in my mind of a cartoon, you know, Bugs Bunner or Roadrunner or one of those, where the horse walks by a metal barn and goes poof, right against the wall. That's what I'm picturing.
Yep. Not quite like that, but I can see how you have that in your mind.
The magnets are so strong that he gets picked up to the metal ceiling. It's like, and he's hanging from the metal ceiling.
Interestingly, the very nice thing is that the magnets are sewn into neoprene little patches. So the blanket is machine washable, and it's not as heavy as Glenn thinks it is. it's remarkably light. Do you think so, Emily?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing that drew me to the product, because Kat and I are about the same size. We're not large people. And some of these, you know, blankets that are out there, they're huge. You know, you need, like, a big tall person to put them on and lift them up. But this, it was so manageable, and I can just see a huge difference in the horses. They let you know, they kind of, like, move around and get fidgety. They can feel it. You can tell that they feel it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was so cool. And now you make human products as well.
We do. We make... We have socks, scarves. We are coming out with some gloves, and we have blankets and things that a lot of people use, riders, and we actually have a lot of athletes, golfers, runners who use the product. But most people, you know, what I've found is that a lot of people like to use, like, things such as our socks, which are year-round. Obviously, scarves you're going to use in the wintertime, but people will use the socks on a daily basis, and once they use them, they fall in love with the idea, and then if they are, you know, a horse enthusiast or a horse owner, they always come back for the horse products, which we have loads of, you know, saddle pads, show pads, all-purpose pads. We have a Western pad coming out, dressage pads, basically pads for every discipline, and joint braces and halter bridle paddings. And so we have a lot of products for the horse and the rider.
Yeah, those saddle pads, guys, you got to try out her saddle pads. They're brilliant. She's got a coating on the top of the saddle pad, which makes it water repellent. And I used mine all through Florida on all the horses, and I didn't put them in the washing machine once. I just, like, hosed them out and hung them dry. They're awesome. That's such a good product.
Thank you so much. That coating, we call that the Lotus Effect, but that it is hilarious how when we go to trade shows, we'll set up the booth, and when you say it to people, it's like, oh, they are water resistant. People kind of look at you like, okay, but
why do we care?
See it, when, right, it's kind of like, how does that work, you know? But when we, in my booth, I always have a demonstration where you put the water on and it just rolls right off the top. And at the last Equine Affairs show, which was in Ohio, we were there just a few months back, and I thought, okay, I'm going to make this a little bit more dramatic so people understand it. So I actually had Kool-Aid, and the Kool-Aid will just roll right off the top, and people saw it, and I mean, you can get a white pad and put red Kool-Aid on top of it, and they were like amazed, you know, because it becomes so real. But it is very nice, because I use mine every day, and instead of washing my saddle pad once a week like you would a normal pad, I wash mine normally once a month.
Yeah, it really is great. And those little details, you know, people notice those, because they're things that matter, because you're a rider. You know, you ride. You're a professional, right?
I was, yes. I'm getting my amateur status back. But,
awesome.
Yeah, it was developed. Yes, I'm quite excited about that, actually. Benefab is taking up a lot more time than I thought. So being able to do this more for, you know, the horses, more for fun, is kind of where I'm headed, and this to be the full-time job. But which is great news. But, yeah, it was, you know, the whole line was developed by a rider, you know, for riders. And I know, you know, and for the benefit of the horses, the whole goal is to help, you know, people and horses feel well and perform their best with fashion. You know, our products don't have that typical therapeutic appearance. They're bright, vibrant, and fashionable, which I love because things that make you feel better don't have to always look boring and be one color. And, you know, I mean, they can be fun.
It's so true. Yes, we want it all. Is that so bad?
Not so bad.
No, it's so true because your crown pieces, I've got quite a few of those, and I use them as crown pieces. I use them as chin guards, chain guards, nose pieces on hackamores. They're durable. You guys got to check it out online. You're online, right? That's where you sell primarily?
We are, yep. We do go to some trade shows, but we are online, benefabproducts.com. And one thing I wanted to tell listeners is that if you go to our website, place an order, you can sign up for our newsletter and you'll receive a coupon for free shipping, which is great.
Wow, that is good. That's nice. So do you have any new products coming out?
We do. Well, we have that mesh rug. Our new products will be coming out on June 16th, so just in a little less than 2 weeks now. But we have that the Saramag rug that I spoke about earlier. We have hawk braces coming out. And we also have more quarter sheets, which quarter sheet or body wrap, whatever you want to call it, that's been one of our most popular products. And that will be back in stock. So I know a lot of people are going to be really excited about that.
Is that a warm weather quarter sheet? I don't think I saw that.
You know, this is an interesting twist on it. It is the same design as what we had previously, which is essentially, we spoke about this on the Dressage Radio Show with Glenn a few months ago, but it is a quarter sheet that can be worn on your horse or you can wear it. So it's really innovative. It's very different than anything you've ever seen. And we used to have a fleece-type ceramic quarter sheet that was great for the wintertime, but people loved the fashion aspect so much of it that we came out with a year-round version. So it's a thinner, stretchier material, but it still does have the ceramics. It's actually slightly higher-intensity ceramic.
Wow.
So people will be able to wear this, you know, year round and not have that fleece, you know, thermal feel.
I know a couple of dressage hosts that are waiting for theirs because they were on back order. It got brought up again. I said, it'll be there. You'll get them.
Nice. That's awesome.
They are coming out.
Jennifer, you had a question?
Cool.
Yes, I have a question for Kat before we let her get on with her day. The Benefab ceramic fabric, does it have to be literally in direct contact with the skin, or does it have to be close to the skin? Like when you, because I'm more familiar with the people products because I have one of your Benefab people products. So if you're wearing something that drapes the scarf or the wrap, does it lose its effect completely when it's only close to the skin? How does that whole thing work in proximity to the skin that you want to reap the benefits of the product?
Right. That's a very good question. You know, it definitely works best when it is directly against the skin, when the product is against the skin. However, you know, the way that the ceramic fibers are working, and they are emitting far infrared rays, which penetrate beneath the skin and are absorbed in the deep tissue level. So for those who don't know, far infrared rays are an invisible and naturally occurring low-range ray on the electromagnetic spectrum. So, but what the rays do is they stimulate the vibration of oxygen atoms within water molecules. So the oxygen atoms, you can imagine, are vibrating around the hydrogen atoms, and the water molecules begin to shrink in size, which then stimulates all the benefits of the increase in blood circulation and dilation of blood vessels. you know, it does help in developing new capillaries for treatment of deep muscle lesions and soft tissue injuries, which that increase should ultimately decrease the span of recovery time. And I know I'm getting a little bit off topic of your direct question, but, you know, that's a question I get all the time. And I know from my personal experience, and we've done some testing, or we've done a lot of testing, but not over clothing. So it's a hard question for me to answer. But I do know, like, I sleep on, every night I sleep on top of the ceramic blanket we have. And the blanket mm-hmm. is about the size, full-size bed. So I am normal, you know, I have my pajamas on and I sleep on top of it. And I wake up feeling great. And there's a lot of our customers who do that, you know, who have SI issues or any sort of nerve problems or neck issues.
Okay, so you just described every rider. So there you go.
Right. So I would, in answer to your question, I would say that they do work. No matter what, those far infrared rays are being emitted. So I think that if it has the capacity to penetrate through your skin, it definitely has the capacity to penetrate through clothing. But I would say that it's quite possible that the effects are slightly lessened with clothing on.
Got it.
So well, you can wear jammies, but not a wool sweater. There we go. I got
right,
it.
There you go.
Correct. We'll leave it at that.
Well, Kat, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's benefabproducts.com. And as she said, right there on the homepage, you can find or you can sign up for the newsletter and get yourself some free shipping on your order. Benefabproducts.com. Thank you so much. You know, we've been talking about, we have to get together for lunch one of these days. We live like 5 miles from each other.
We do. Absolutely.
I know.
We
just keep putting it off and never get to it. So one of these days we're going to do it, Kat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to try and bring Emily back on here. You were starting to break up again. So are you back?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. And again, for those just tuning in, Emily's having a little bit of connection difficulties up there in upstate New York. Apparently, horse venues are not very good for phone connections, so or internet or anything technology related.
Yes, I know, but I promise we're going to fix it for next month. We are going to find good Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi hunting.
Well, if you have a Starbucks, you'll be good. Is there
Yeah, you know what? There is one, and I just totally was like, "Oh, I'll be at the horse show. I live here. This will be a no-brainer." And yeah, it was not.
Well,
so I apologize again to all of you.
Jennifer's going to try and get our next guest on. You have them packed full today, and we're going to be doing a little training tip here coming up. We have a couple things I wanted to talk to you about as well. Are your horses back in showing, or are you getting back into it?
They are. I mean, my husband and I did not even renew our cards until a few weeks ago. We're not showing down in Florida at all. We were doing all clothing line. And so, yeah, we got our cards renewed. It was a little culture shock. We showed up back at the horse show, and last week we started showing. They were good. Everybody was good. We got a few kind of low ribbons. Horses are putting in some clean rounds, but we're ramping up. That's what I tell myself.
And was it weird?
It really was. I was like, there's so many people here. There's so many horses, and I am having a hard time remembering my course.
Back into the rat race.
Yes, it's like memory games. You know, you got to stay sharp, and I was not sharp.
Counting strides.
Yeah.
So, is that hard for you? I know some of the riders do have a tough time with the courses and everything. Do you have a tough time with that, or has it come really easy to you from doing it?
You
so
know,
often?
I'm sort of like a natural type rider, so that ends up being my strength and my weakness. I have a very hard time keeping my strides in order and sticking to the plan. I'll be like, I did the plan, and Eric's like, you definitely didn't do the plan. I'm like, really? Wait, what was the plan? So that's a little bit me, but I got to stay sharp. I got to get in the groove and stay sharp.
Well, you know, having ADD is probably not great for a jumping rider there.
Oh, man, tell me about it.
I would never, ever. I don't know that I'd remember the courses. I really don't know.
Oh,
you know, it's
God.
Funny because my co-host in driving has been talking to me about doing CDEs, and I'm like, yeah, and CDEs are even worse, combined driving events, because when you get out in the marathon course, you have all those different gates to remember. In each obstacle, you'll have four gates, and you have to remember how you go around and which turns, and also the alternates if you screw up. There's no way in heck I could remember all that.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It really adds such another element to the already difficult task of managing your, you know, 1,500-pound animal.
Now, do you, you've been riding the horses all along and your husband, right?
Yep.
So it's not like they were out of work.
Yeah, exactly. We were staying in work. We just weren't showing. You know, we rent a barn that's off the property down in Wellington, and so the horses really didn't go over for, like, months. We were training and gymnastics and stuff at home, so yeah, it was really, they were fit, but there's a whole other level of sharpness, and just they need to be sharp, and you need to be sharp to go in and tackle those courses.
Was it good to be back in the saddle again?
It was. I do miss it. I love it. You know, the clothing line takes so much of my time, and it's definitely in the front burner, so it really is. It's nice to get back in there and ride for fun.
Well, now that you're back in the saddle, you may need some training tips, and we have somebody here to help us with that. Why don't you introduce Monty?
Yes, we have Monty Kelly, who is on. He's someone I've known for my entire show career. We really showed in all the same areas. So he is the perfect person to give us a little horse show training tip. He always has an entourage of students with him. So this is Monty Kelly from Stepping Stone Farm.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Monty.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for joining us, Monty. So glad to have you.
Anytime.
Awesome. Well, what do you have for us today? You got a great horse show training tip, no doubt.
Yes. I think the horse shows have gotten so fast-paced these days. I think a lot of it would be improved with the kids getting back to the basics of their boots being clean, the horse being clean, the spur straps being tucked in. I think if you paid attention to all those small details, it will really help the big picture come together. Just getting back to the basic horsemanship of it all. Hoof oil at the end gate.
Have you found, are you saying this because you feel that has been lax here recently?
In the last few years, yes. Even at the big shows, you know, you don't see the kids caring so much about their boots, their spurs put on correctly. It is a trainer's job to help them, but ultimately it's the rider's responsibility when they walk in the ring to make sure they look good.
Yeah, really, to take care of their boots. I see that too, and I don't know if I'm just getting to be older, but I really feel like it. Like we were all like really OCD with our boots. I mean, I felt a little bit like we're in the military, you know, you needed to see your face in your boots before you went in.
Yes.
Not the case.
I see a lot of kids with their spurs put on incorrectly. And it isn't that their trainer hasn't told them, but I think the kids need to take more responsibility.
Yeah, and it really shows that they're putting in the time and the care to the craft of riding, which is, you know, let's face it, it's not just that 60 seconds in the ring. You need to make sure your horse is turned out well. A good, healthy, clean horse, you know, is a sign of a good work ethic, which these kids should have if they're out there, you know, campaigning for points and riding these horses around.
Exactly.
That's good. I like that one a lot because, you would know. You've got all those kids, and you're at the ring day in and day out. You see it, and it is. It does look a little sloppy out there.
Now, I got to ask you, in the hunter side of things, I assume, you know, because it is so subjective, is it better on that side of the world?
I don't think it is. I see it at all levels. I see it. I'll see jumpers that are braided, that are beautifully turned out. The people care about what they're doing, and I just feel like it's missing. I think even at the top level, it's missing. We're so fast to get them to the ring, in the show ring, we're not paying attention to the basics.
Yeah, it's true. How do we affect change like that? I mean, does it need to come from the judging? The judges, I guess that's a hard thing for them to grade if they can't quite see so close, messy boots and things.
It is really hard, but, like, even like in a simple McClay class, I'll watch kids go in the ring and you'll see four kids with their spurs put on incorrectly. The judge doesn't call them over and say your spurs are on incorrectly, okay? It's until someone does say it to them, they're not going to get it. But I think the riders themselves need to take the responsibility.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It does. It should, I mean, that's where the initiation should come from. You're going to get on a horse. You should, I mean, you put your bridle on correctly. Make sure your reins are on straight. Get your spurs on straight. These are the basics. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So, yeah. Monty, having been a person who has a hard time remembering things like that as a youngster when I was showing, would you have any suggestions should riders, junior or otherwise, sort of have a punch list, a checklist, these five things need to be checked before you go in the ring, before you get to the warm-up area, that could help out people who are, by nature, a little disorganized, like certain people that are on the show with us this morning?
Our friend, Jennifer.
For sure. But even as simple as this, always make sure your boots are clean when you first get on the horse, okay? Just because you were standing in the dirt, most likely, okay? And the other thing is have stand back and have someone stand back and say, how do I look? How do I look here? Anyone on the ground can assess if you look poorly or not.
Right.
Yeah, make a group effort. That's a good point.
That's a good idea. And there's always someone standing at the in gate that you can say, do I have any dirt on the toes of my boots or splash mud on his tummy because you've trotted through a mud puddle? And that sort of thing.
Yes.
This is where you can tell the pony clubbers from the non-pony clubbers. Because they won't
how
have any
mud. No, it really, that is a good tip. I think that is very, very valid currently.
Well, Monty, do you have a website?
You know, I believe we do. It's under Stepping Stone Farm.
Okay, and I know you're on Facebook, too, because I found you over there. Just search for Stepping Stone Farm in Albany, New York, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Monty. We appreciate
you
joining us.
Thank you, Monty. Talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Sounded like he was getting into the car and about ready to head over to the arena, is what it sounds like.
I know. I'm going to see him pass by here any minute, I'm sure. When I ran Wi-Fi searching, I'm basically sitting, like, front and center out here at the horse show.
Now, is Saugerties like other horse show venues where there's 5 million golf carts?
Oh, gosh, yes. It's big, and, it's nice. It's a little bit segregated, so the horses walk in a certain area. They have a horse path, and then the golf carts have a different road in the cars. But it's a madhouse. It's becoming huge. Lindsay can give us the numbers, but it just keeps growing. It's turning almost into like a Wellington feel. It's big.
Interesting. I know that, that with the jumpers, you would see a lot more mini bikes than you would actually see golf carts. At the shows.
But, you know, golf carts are so nice when it's raining because you can just park up on the Grand Prix field and watch from your golf cart.
You know, it's a lot easier, too, to carry your saddle and all the crap in a golf cart than it is on the minibike. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's take a break for our song this morning, and we'll be back. We have Lindsay from HITS coming up to talk to us a little bit about where it's all happening here, the place without the Internet up there in Saugerties, New York. And we'll talk to her a little bit about that. We also have to find out, you had something exciting happen with the clothing line that is kind of cool. You know, I felt privileged earlier because we had Kat from Benefab, who's pretty young, started her own business like that. And you're pretty young. We had two of the hottest female entrepreneurs in the equestrian world on the show at the same time.
Oh, Kat is awesome. I mean, when I saw her at the trade show, I was like, you are fantastic. I mean, she is like this teeny tiny little thing, and she's kicking butt out there. Those products are so nice.
Yep, and she works really hard, and and you do too.
And she's
I mean,
a horse
you work
professional.
Really hard with the clothing line, in addition to having this job trying to win some money at the shows. So,
right.
Yeah, it isn't easy. So, we had two of the best on with us today.
Oh, flattered.
And hottest in every way. I'll throw that out there. All good.
All right, gold star. You're pushing it.
Girl with the Guitar by Chancey Neal, and we're going to be back with more right after this song.
Out on your own. I got a hug from mama, still on my mind. But daddy's little girl is doing fine. Tears in my eyes, a smile on my face. The rest of my life starts today.
That is Chancey Neal, Horse Girl from Tennessee, down there in Nashville, called Girl with a Guitar. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by S. Equestrian, and we have Emily with us. It's our monthly jumping episode that we do the first Tuesday of every month. I wanted to remind everybody that we will be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, and tomorrow morning we are doing our special Triple Crown Belmont episode, the entire episode devoted to the Belmont, the horses that are going to be running California Chrome. We have some guests. Of course, Frankie Lovato will be here. So we have some other special guests that we're hoping to get interviewed today that you're going to want to hear tomorrow morning. Jennifer worked hard on these, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that it comes through. So that is all coming up on tomorrow's show. Well, now, S. Equestrian, Emily, you had some exciting news.
Yeah, we did, actually. It was a little bit unexpected. I was sort of sharing with you earlier our guerrilla marketing here in expansion, being myself and my husband professional riders. Our clothing line ends up growing kind of through,
just our personal contacts with other riders, other industry insiders. So we had got really friendly with a really, really great rider, Teresa Kraft, who is German, and she's got a big sponsor in Germany. She was over here for a summer and got really into the shirts. We gave her quite a few. And when she went home, she shopped. So we are officially selling in Kaiserslautern, Germany. It's about an hour south of Frankfurt. I have not been, but it's happening. So we are officially international.
Yay! Look at you go.
Yay! We're excited. You know, it's kind of like, wow, okay, it's growing. So, but it's cool. This is sort of our maiden season, but they are doing well. They're happy. So, so we will see. We'll keep you posted.
Very good. Well, congratulations for that. It's always fun and challenging to go international because everything's a little different when you have to get that shipping done. So
yeah.
It should be fun. Well, that should be fun. And, you know, the opportunity for Europeans to actually buy something made in the United States doesn't happen too often either. So there's not much of that except for McDonald's. That's about it,
yeah.
Right? You and
yeah,
McDonald's.
The opportunity
the only thing
for Americans to buy something made in the United States doesn't
yeah,
happen too
true.
Often.
I know. It really is crazy. We always play the game when we're shopping, try to find something made in the USA, and it's almost impossible. Even people who used
it's
to manufacture
crazy.
Here don't anymore. So, yeah, it's a small group.
And you still have all of your stuff manufactured in New York, right?
Yeah, we do, which, you know, we pay a premium for, and it is more expensive. So when you're out there shopping, people, and you want to say that we believe and we want to support in products made in the USA, it might cost a few extra bucks. But that is the difference between having that here and there. So for us, even as a small startup company, we just said, you know what, we're going to be batting in a little bit of a higher price range, but we're going to do it because we're going to keep it here. So we've stayed true. It's hard. You get a lot of pressure.
Now, do you, one other thing, too, I wanted to bring up before we get to our next guest is that you have somebody else that you put to work in the barn, too, and not your husband, a different stallion.
Yeah, so I was like, what are you talking about? So, yes, you're right. We do have another man in the barn working. This has sort of been a passion of mine, actually, dating back to when I went to Germany and studied over there for riding. I got very involved and just interested in the bloodlines and the breeding, and it's just been something I've really studied, and I've just always paid attention, horses in the ring and whatnot, and just sort of the situation happened upon me few years ago. I was able to acquire an incredibly well-bred stallion he's not sound to work. He had unfortunately caught up in a barbed wire fence, which you don't hear a lot of
Ooh.
These days.
No,
I know. So he lived, the poor guy, but, you know, his whole haunch doesn't really work so good. So that lucky man, he was bought and moved to Florida, and he lives out his days currently as a breeding stallion in his maiden season. We've got three mares covered. I'm so, so excited to see what he throws. So fingers crossed, this is our maiden voyage, you know.
Do you know that's still the dream of 99% of the human men, too, is that we could live out our lives as a breeding stallion? I mean, doing nothing else but getting fed and being a breeding stallion. That would be a great gig.
It's
I don't know
so
anybody
great.
That has it, but
Well, Hail Glory has it, and he's Mr. Manners. He's actually turned out with mares, and he is very, very well behaved. In fact, I turned him out with this nice thoroughbred mare, very nice papers, and she would not let him cover her, and he's not a pushy type, so she went uncovered for a whole year, and we ended up doing it AI because she just was like, nope, and he was like, I've been told nope. That's it.
I had a few girlfriends like that, too.
Yeah, that's sort of the comment that I get from other people when I tell them. They're like, yeah, I know people like that.
Yeah, I've had a girlfriend like that, too, in the old days. You know,
so
Lindsay's going to be so proud to be joining us this morning. You realize that after this conversation. So good. Let's say good morning to Lindsay from Hits up in New York. She's been on the show before. And we were in Florida at the time, and now she's made her way up to upstate New York, where there's lots of trees and nice cool weather and a lot of jumpers. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are terrific. I hear you're
Hard
stressing
good.
Up there.
It's
sorry?
Busy.
I said, I hear you're stressing out up there with all the jumpers in town, and your life has gotten busy again.
Our life is always busy, but yes, it's been an exciting 2 weeks, but we're happy to be back in Saugerties. This is our home. Hits is based in Saugerties, so we always love coming back here.
But it's way busier, right? I mean, than normal.
Oh, for
sure. It's a home for me, too. And, wow, like, Barn 13's packed.
Yeah. So we, you know, it's probably the first time that this spring series has been as busy as it is. You know, we usually are packed in the summer. But, you know, last week and then this week as well, you know, we're basically sold out. Emily will tell you, well, we were actually trying to get a horse on the grounds for me to ride this week, and I work for Hits, and I still couldn't get a stall. So it's very busy, but it's very exciting. There's a lot of new faces, which is great.
Yeah, it really is. I noticed that too. A lot of new top sport faces. We've got a few top international Grand Prix riders I see floating around here too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's been great to see, you know, the success of our winter circuits. You know, we had a great season in Florida and Ocala and a great season in Thermal out in California. And, you know, the success of those seasons and the buzz surrounding the Triple Crown of Show Jumping, I think, has really lured people to come to Saugerties and get qualified for the Zoetis Million in September. So, yeah, we've seen it all through the levels, but, you know, even at the Grand Prix level, we're seeing a lot of new people come.
That's so cool. And that's really, I wanted to have you on to kind of lay the foundation for us, because it's just such an amazing thing that Tom and Hips are doing here with these classes. And it seems like every year we keep adding some fantastical class, you know,
yeah,
all through the levels. So I thought, you know, who better than Lindsay to give us the lowdown? What does the landscape look like this year? It's different again, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously when we introduced the Zoetis Million in 2010, you know, that was an exciting thing for us and obviously the richest person in the sport. And then we've added, you know, consecutively we added the Million in California, the AIG Million, and then the Great American Million in Ocala. And then we added those two Hunter classes, the $500,000 Diamond Mills Hunter Pre-Final, and then the $250,000 Hunter Pre-Final, which is now sponsored by Platinum Performance. And then this year, we've added the class you guys were talking about a little bit earlier that Michaela is trying to qualify for is the Bayer's Legend $250,000 Junior AO Jumper Prix. So we're adding that to Championship Weekend, which is September. And, you know, obviously it's exciting to see us giving away $1 million to these classes. But the funny thing is, the lower level classes have been so popular. You know, last year people were fighting to qualify for our 3 foot Hunter Pre-Final, and this year, you know, people are really excited about this Jumper Pre. Michaela won it last week, and then Erin Haas won it this week, and you know, she was telling me that she could qualify for the Million if she wanted to, but she really wants to get in on this junior amateur class. So, you know, it's really exciting, that level of the sport, and obviously giving them, you know, serious money to ride for. So they're all really excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most unique part. I mean, the purses are so big. So tell us, for people who are kind of just getting the lay of the land, how are these riders going to qualify and over what time span?
Yeah, so we started qualifying over the winter. So there's Hunter High Junior Amateur Classics every week in Ocala and in Thermal. And to qualify, they have to show in five. So they have to get their five classes. And then we do rider rankings based on their money won on their leading horse. They're posted on our website. You can check them out to see who's leading. And we update those every week. So basically they get their five, and then where they're placed in the rankings, you know, bases the order of go and who qualifies. So it's exciting, and, you know, we weren't expecting, you know, them to be so popular, but, you know, we're going to have a packed class of some really talented people. And, you know, obviously $250,000 is a big chunk of money, and it's enough money to beg some of those riders from California and Florida who don't sometimes come to Saugerties in the summer because of the distance to come here to compete for that class. So we're going to see a lot of new people come September, which is really exciting.
Now, Lindsay, I have a question. Is it always based on the horse, or is it based on the horse and rider, or combination, or, you know, how is that done?
How they're placed in the rankings is based on the money that they win on their leading horse. So, say Emily's showing in this junior amateur class and she has three horses, you know, her money won is based on the horse that she's won the most money with. So that's how they place. But they can pick their horse once the weekend comes, so they don't have to
show that
horse. I was going to
say, then they can switch horse at that point?
Yeah, they can show whichever horse they like in the final at the end. So.
So the more horses you have, the better, or just, somebody that has that really good one, it doesn't matter at that point?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter at that point because it's all based on your winning horse. So, you know, if you've got a really top-notch horse, that's the one that's going to put you at the top of the rankings.
Okay.
Wow. Well, yeah, we heard Michaela's going to be going for that 250 junior amateur class. That'll be exciting. We're going to watch her this summer.
Yeah, and she was actually she was our rider to watch. We do the Hits News Weekly. We started it in Thermal, California. It's just a little weekly newsletter that we work on, and we pick a rider to watch for those championships in September, and she was our rider to watch this week. So she had an amazing class last week.
Yeah, that worked out nicely. She just is unbelievable. I mean, the consistency, I keep saying that, but it really is. I mean, she's 13 years old, and since she's like 11, I mean, she pops up and wins these big classes, Hunters, Jumpers, and Eck. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's a sweet girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Doesn't always happen that way. So, Lindsay, you have sort of probably the statistics, or I hope you do because I don't. But do you know what our entries are these weeks? I mean, what are our numbers that we're up to these days?
Yeah, we're averaging, in these fuller weeks about 1,500 horses, which is awesome. We always tell people when we're working on, our economic impact studies, the end of the circuit and things that, with every horse that comes to our showgrounds, there's between, three and four people that accompany them, be it grooms, owners, trainers, moms and dads. So, for a property that's a little over 200 acres over there, you wouldn't know it because there's people and horses everywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, it really is. It just feels bigger and bigger every year, which is so much fun. And then, for those of you who have frequented horse shows, one of the most disappointing parts of horse shows is the horse show food. And can you tell us a little bit about
ask.
How we're spoiled? How are we faring here at Hits Horse Shows?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, I have a friend that comes to watch the horse show sometimes, and he's a dressage rider, and he came and visited, and I asked him to come back, and he said, I'll only come back if you promise me that the stir fry station will be open again in the restaurant. So, we have a Verizon VIP club that offers VIP table holders catered food from Dunn and Mills Hotel and Tavern, which is located in Saugerties and actually owned by Tom Strazeri, who is the owner of Hits Horse Shows as well. So, they get VIP treatment and VIP food, but, the restaurant is pretty exceptional. I eat there, so, it's pretty impressive, and people, it's always crowded in there. The in-gates are crowded, but the restaurant's probably the second crowded place on the ground.
Hey, I do have to ask you because is it like when you guys descend, when all the jumper riders descend on Ocala here where we live and you can't get in the restaurant, is it the same way up there?
It is, and, it's a mixed blessing, obviously. It's very hard to get a dinner reservation. It's very hard to get a hotel room. But, all of the restaurants and hotel owners in Saugerties and the surrounding area are really excited when the horse show comes to town because, obviously these people are coming to enjoy the horse show. But, yeah, and enjoy Saugerties as well. So, the restaurants are packed. Partition Street in Saugerties is always bumping. So it's great when they're here and everyone enjoys when they come to town.
So it's like here where the locals go, oh, man, I can't – I'll be waiting for them to leave, but the business owners all love it. Just the way
but,
it is.
Like, isn't there, like, Lindsay, there's, like, a population here, though. You don't get to Saugerties, and you're not like, wow, now we've made Saugerties. Like, Saugerties is a destination without us. Like, we just make it
Yeah,
huge.
It is. It is, for sure. There's I mean, I'm relatively new to the Hudson Valley. I grew up in upstate New York, but, you know, it's a perfect mix of very small town, and there's a lot of city influence as well. I mean, we're not that far from New York City. A lot of people who live in Manhattan have second homes here. A lot of people open businesses here. So, you know, and I have some family friends who grew up in Saugerties their whole life, and, you know, it's really, really got to be an exciting place to live over the past, you know, several years. So it's exciting when the horse show comes, but it's certainly its own identity when the horse show's not here. And, yeah, I mean, I love it. I moved here full time, so if that tells you
right.
anything.
That's right. Yeah, and it totally is that area. It is so beautiful. There's so many other things to do. I mean, the Hudson Valley, it's got, like, all these swimming holes and all kinds of trails and the woods. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, and there's a lot. I mean, it's, you know, people refer to it a lot of times as your summer playground, and it really is, because there's an event every weekend, and even when there isn't events, you know, there's cute little shops and towns and restaurants, and so it'll keep someone busy for the whole summer, if not the whole year.
The Garlic Festival, we have that right across
the
street.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one.
It is. And now we've got 9 weeks, right, of hits, show jumping dates?
Yeah, so we have 8 weeks of the circuit, and then the 9th week is Marshall and Sterling finals. And so we have, you know, riders qualifying at Marshall and Sterling horse shows all over the country throughout the year, and then the championships, their finals is in Saugerties the week after our championship.
Okay, yeah, so, I mean, it's a full summer, and you guys have other events at the complex as well, dressage, you've got regional finals.
Yeah, so we run, when, you know, during the summer we kind of hop between Saugerties and our property in Culpeper, Virginia, and we actually, you know, I'm sure you've seen we did some extensive renovations in Culpeper this year, so that's going to be a really exciting summer as well, because we have all new stabling there, a lot of grounds updates, so, you know, while Saugerties is selling out, Culpeper is selling out as well, so it's pretty exciting. But, yeah, we hop between Saugerties and Culpeper in the summer, and when we're not at the grounds in Saugerties, we do facility rentals, so a lot of dressage shows will come in and run out the property. So even when we're not here, there's still plenty of things to see over there.
Yeah, it really is, which is awesome for us because we do a lot of young horses, so that's what we're just, we love coming to Saugerties. And this year we didn't get here so early. We showed up right smack like the day before the horse show. It was culture shock. But normally we come a few weeks early and let the horses get used to the complex before, you know, the thousands start pouring in.
Yeah.
But it is. It's so good for them because they get used to it all throughout the summer. Well, we just love it. It's such an amazing area. And to have this complex right here in such a, like we said, an already cool town, with plenty of draw and plenty of interest. It's just a gem, and I think other people are seeing that. There's quite a few professionals that are actually buying properties in the area, which makes me wonder if this is going to start a little bit that feel like it is in Wellington, where people have properties and they ship in.
Yeah, and we have several farms, you know, Emily included, that kind of make their summer home in Saugerties when they're done, and actually Monty, who you had on earlier as well, Stepping Stone, is part of the Hits family. They run out the property for the summer as well and kind of make their summer home here. So, and we love to see that. We love to see, you know, that beautiful showground being used as much as possible. And, you know, while we're seeing new faces in the show ring, we're hoping that will spread to the community as well, and people will come and enjoy the grounds. I always tell people that, you know, we want to see the spectator draw of thoroughbred racing spill over into Hunter Jumpers a little bit, because, you know, it's a beautiful property with so many opportunities for people to come and bring their family, pass a picnic, make a day of it. You know, there's a little bit of shopping, and there's obviously great food to come and enjoy the horses, because, you know, whether you understand the difference between an Olympic level Grand Prix horse or a backyard pony, it's pretty impressive what you're watching. You may not understand all of it, but it's gorgeous to see these animals, you know, do what they love to do. So we're hoping that that spectator draw will increase. And we have next week, hopefully, a really exciting announcement about the entertainment for the championship Sunday on September 7th. So just a little tease for you all there.
Oh, good. Well, terrific. Well, yeah. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find out more?
Of course, hitshows.com.
HitsShows.com. That's HITSShows.com. You'll find out all the details of what's going on up there.
Yeah, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so follow us there as well.
Thank you, Lindsay. Appreciate it. And let's hope you get to get your horse out of the mothballs and
into
the showroom here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Yeah, have a good day, guys.
Well, Emily, your connection is not getting any better, I'm afraid.
So sorry.
Maybe we should just do some closing here and wrap up the show. Thank you for putting all this together. We packed a lot of interviews in a very short period of time, but it does sound like the place to be. You know, there isn't there. You know, in the spring and summertime, the only other one I can think about on the East Coast where jumpers descend, and I think it sounds like a lot more of them are going up there instead of Kentucky at the horse park.
Yeah.
You're probably getting the draw from Kentucky that people used to stay down in Kentucky and now are heading north because the purses are bigger.
Yeah, it's so true. And they just keep getting bigger, more classes. So I mean, it's like Lindsay said, the numbers keep growing and it's across the board. So, yeah, that's what we're watching now is I think this is taking the next step and becoming a real sort of seasonal destination rather than just horse show spots.
And we promise that next time Emily's on next month, first Tuesday of every month is our jumping episode, she will have a better internet connection if she has to start knocking on doors and just walk into somebody's house.
Oh, my God. I promise. I promise.
Thank you, Emily. What's your website again?
All right. ECEEquestrian.com. EceEquestrian.com. Check us out.
ECEEquestrian.com for the finest in equestrian fashion. By
That's
Emily.
It.
And you can see pictures of her on her Facebook page there in New York, in the Garment District, picking out cloth and material and patterns. It's so cool to see you doing that. You look so official.
Thanks. I don't feel so official, but it does happen. I'm on the regular now.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Don't forget, tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning, we are coming to you live with our Belmont edition. It is a very exciting week here in the horse world. We have, and that's up your way, too. It's not too far from you, is it?
It's not. It's like an hour and a half or something. It's the coolest area.
Well, I'll tell you what. You're going to see a lot more traffic next weekend because there'll be
hundreds of
thousands of people descending on Belmont and checking out the Triple Crown. And California Chrome winning, I might add. So
we hope. Fingers crossed.
Everybody's going to be looking your direction, Emily. And don't forget, you can listen to our shows. The easiest way to do it is go to our iPhone or Android app. Just search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store. It's free. It's easy. It's the simplest way to do it. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning. We'll see you, Em. Good luck showing.
All right. Later, guys. Thanks.
Go check your stirrup strap, Em.